Turn with us to Numbers chapter 4. Numbers chapter 4. As you're turning, because it's so far into the Word of God there, fourth book. You may remember, I told some of you this before. We were at a teen meeting years ago, and one of the contests was that they got all the teenage boys that wanted to participate up on the platform, and the preacher that was hosting said that I want you to think up your best Christian pickup line for girls. And the teenage boys, of course, that were up for the challenge, got on the platform, and that preacher went down the row with the microphones, and you know, I don't remember any of them except one. There was one teenage boy, and the preacher went to him, gave him the microphone, and said, "Give it to me." He said, "I don't know what's wrong." He said, "I must have a bad Bible. I looked through the book of Numbers and didn't find yours." I was like, now that was smooth. So Numbers, that book that most of us look at and we're like, oh no, that dry book, that, you know, that book of Numbers, and it talks about this person and that person and this tribe and that tribe, and oh no, preacher, we're going to talk about in the book of Numbers today. Yeah, we are, and we're studying the wisdom of work. Last week we were in the book of Leviticus and we talked about the beneficial work. This morning we're moving into now the book of Numbers, and we're going to consider part 5 of our study, which is the beauty of the work, the beauty of the work. Numbers chapter 4, almost said Numbers number 4, but Numbers chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying," so who's talking?
The Lord.
"The Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi after their families, by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old, all that enter into the host, to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things." Drop down to verse 23. Verse 23, "From 30 years old and upward until 50 years old shalt thou number them, all that enter in to perform the service, to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation." Verse number 30. "From 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, shalt thou number them, every one that entereth into the service, to do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 35. "From 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, every one that entereth into the service for the work in the tabernacle of the congregation." Verse 39. "From 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, every one that entereth into the service for the work in the tabernacle of the congregation." And verse 43. "From 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, every one that entereth into the service for the work in the tabernacle of the congregation." If you were paying attention, you came up with an age range. What is it?
30 to 50.
Okay, now let me caution you this morning. If you're not yet 30, don't turn your ears off. And if you've long since been 50, don't turn your ears off. Because we're going to hit all of us today as we look in the text. Let's pray. Father, we certainly do love you. We certainly are thankful for the opportunity to gather here. Lord, what a privilege that it is to assemble together as like-minded believers, and knowing that you are the Almighty God, that you are a saving God, a merciful God, a loving God, and a leading God. And I pray today, Lord, that you'd speak to us, speak to our hearts, and through your word, by your spirit, Lord, if there's one here without Christ, that, Lord, today that they receive Christ and become a part of the family of God. What a thrill that it is to be saved, to know that you love us, to know that you gave your life for us. And I pray that as we look to serve you in our love in return, that you'd help us to see what it is that we ought do and how we ought do it. Bless our time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So before we talk about the elements of the work, I want to talk with you this morning about the age limitations given. So verse 3, we saw from 30 years old unto 50 years old. And that was the age requirement for the tabernacle work that's given here. But this was not the only age group that was assigned to work or able to work. Hold your place here, Numbers chapter 4, and go with me to Numbers chapter 8. Numbers chapter 8. And verse number 23. Numbers chapter 8 and verse 23. Now in my Bible, above verse 23, it says retirement of the Levites. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to, after the service, wipe that word out where it says retirement. But look with me. Numbers chapter 8, verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses. Now who's talking?
The Lord.
The Lord. He spake unto Moses, saying, this is it that belongeth unto the Levites. From 25 years old, wait a minute, that's different. From 25 years old and upward, they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And from the age of 50 years, they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof and shall serve no more. See y'all later. I crossed, I'm 53, I'm done. No, they shall cease waiting on the service thereof and shall serve no more, but shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge and shall do no service. Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites, touching their charge. So from this, from what we've read this morning in Numbers chapter 4, and in Numbers chapter 8, I want you to know there are four age divisions among the Levites that we see. There's birth to 25, there's 25 to 30, there's 30 to 50, and then there's AARP. I mean 50 plus. Now, I want us to talk about these groups for a moment and why they made sense in God's design. The birth to 25, their group's work was to learn about God and to learn to walk with God. You could call that the spiritual growth phase of life. They had to know God, and then they had to walk with God, and they had to love God. In the 25 to 30 group, their work was to learn about their upcoming role in the service of the tabernacle. You would consider this as an internship, an apprenticeship, as they're learning now what is to go on, how it's to be done, why it's to be done. Now, then we come to the age group of 30 to 50. Their group's work was the ongoing heavy lifting service of maintaining and moving the tabernacle. You remember, this tabernacle moved through the wilderness with the children of Israel. It was not a small structure. It had a lot of elements, a lot of components, not to mention all of the sacrifices that had to be done. So it makes sense that from the 30 years old to 50 years old, they did the heavy lifting. So we're going to amend our constitution today of our church. I saw some of you get excited right there. We're not done yet. So you can think of the 30 to 50 group this way. Mature muscle. There's spiritual growth. There's an apprenticeship. And now they're in that place of mature muscle. Then the 50 plus group. Now their work was not retirement. It was to serve through mentoring and ministering. This group, I want you to see it. They were not put out to pasture. They were leveraged for wise counsel, for right teaching, for effective prayers, and as a holy example. Now, I want you to know this morning, don't get nervous. In our day, we don't rigidly follow these age groups. But we aren't carrying a mobile church through a wilderness either. All right, after service today, tonight, after service, now come back at 6, because we're going to need you. Because at 6 o'clock, we're going to take out all the furniture. We're going to roll up the carpets. We're going to take down the blinds. We're going to take down all the sheetrock. We're going to take down all the wood out of the walls, the shingles off the roof. And we're going to pack it all up. And we're going to move down the road. And then we're going to set it all back up by next Sunday. And then we're going to have service again. You say, what about Wednesday? We're going to be hammering it back together. That's what we're going to be doing. And you come back next Sunday and we'll have service. And then at the end of the evening service, guess what? We'll do it all over again. Take out all the furniture. Roll up all the carpet. Take off all the... Do you see it? They had this moving structure moving through the wilderness. And so there was work. Don't you think that 50-plus group who had moved the tabernacle for a while, once they hit 50-plus... Don't you think that they had some thoughts about the right? It might not have been a shortcut. They might have said, no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. That's not going to be helpful. That's not going to end well. Brother Rob yesterday down at the men's breakfast that we went to, they had a little trash can. We had French toast and they had powdered sugar and syrup and glory to God. It was manna from heaven. And so we had that, but Rob went and he was going to throw his plate away and there were a couple kids at the trash can and the trash can was full. And their plates were filled with syrup and powdered sugar because, like good Baptists, they immerse their toast in syrup. And come back tonight, we're going to talk about the Baptist distinctive some more. And as Rob is going to the trash can, he sees these two little boys, their brother, Pastor Miller's sons, and they were trying to figure out how this trash can's full. We have trash. What do we do to get this into there and it's already full? And of course, if you're here, and have any age on you, you already know this isn't going to end well. And you know what you would need to do. What? You'd take that bag out and put another bag in and then you'd have room. But they decided, well, we'll just throw them on top. And Rob saw this about to take place and he goes to give the warning, but they were a little faster than him and ended up baptizing the floor with syrup and powdered sugar. Don't you think that these that had served in the tabernacle for all of that time, who had seen the process and the service and the disassembly and the reassembly and the movement, don't you think that they had some wisdom that could be tapped into? That's why there was that apprentice group, so that, you know what, that knowledge could be passed on to them and poured into them so that by the time they were ready to enter into the service, they'd be fully prepared to serve in the way that they should. They already knew the Lord. They already knew how to walk with the Lord. And now they are more familiar with the service. And now for these years, they have a fruitful and productive ministry because they learned to serve the right way. And then when they exit that ministry, they can then go back and pour that wisdom into the coming generation behind. And don't you see the picture that we see here of passing on this knowledge of walking with God and living for God and loving God and serving God and learning the right ways to do it? We live in a day where everybody wants to scrap the old and come up with all these newfangled plans, and then they wonder why the things don't work. We live in a disposable society. Well, we just throw it out and start all over a new way. No, how about we go back to the right way and we stick with the right way and we learn the right way and we stay in the right way? Now, even though we don't follow those age groups that we see. And again, remember, they had to wrestle animals and you know, butcher them, and they had to take care of all this stuff, and they had to carry things around. So there was some muscle needed. But we don't rigidly follow these age groups. We're not carrying our church mobily through this world, but we can use these groups as guidelines in our spiritual journey. Spiritual growth gains wisdom to advance in service to the Lord. And as your maturity grows, as my maturity grows, so do the responsibilities and the beauty of service. The first group, learn about God and learn to walk with God. The second group, learn to serve God correctly and completely. Third group, live out your service to God and others. And the fourth group, help others in their service for the Lord. Now go back with me to Numbers chapter 4. I gave you all of that because when we go back here now and we start looking at this 30 to 50 group, I don't want you to check out if you're not in that age bracket. Remember, we all have something to do in the work of God. So I want to show you a few beautiful things about serving the Lord together. Number one is this. I want you to notice the work in the holy things. The work in the holy things. Numbers chapter 4 and verse 4. This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things. Aaron and his sons, you can read in the verses that follow, Aaron and his sons, they were the priests. That was their job. That was their description. That was their service. They were to come in and carefully cover all of the holy items. Now, don't miss the beauty here that holiness came first. Amen. But Aaron and his sons, they were the priests. See, they were the ones that were consecrated. They were the ones who had been cleansed. They were the ones who were prepared. And they came in and they covered the veil. And they took down the veil in the to the Holy of Holies. They covered the ark. They covered the table of showbread and the candlestick and the altar of incense and the altar of burnt offering and all the accessories. They were told to cover all of the furniture except for one thing. The laver. Interesting. So they still needed a place to wash. But they cover all of these holy things. All of these things that we saw last week are pictures of Christ and His redemption and His atonement. Notice here, the holy things required the highest care. Why? To prevent casualties among the careless. And when we infer from that text, what we find is the way, the truth, and the life are of utmost importance, and they're to be held in the highest esteem and remain unpolluted. See, not everyone was entitled or commissioned to serve in that capacity. This was a sacred service with the highest calling, and it demanded holy reverence. There's a parallel that we see in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 5 through 7 as Paul now is ending his race and he is mentoring Timothy. And in 1 Timothy 3, 5 through 7, Paul says, "For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" And that's still a good question for you and me in this day. It goes on, it says, "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." Let me say that the ongoing hard labors in the holy word of God is of utmost importance in the work of God. Amen. It's this word of God that is the utmost importance for you and me. It is the most holy thing. must be treated right. It cannot be treated carelessly. It cannot be treated callously. It cannot be looked at selfishly, but there must be a now consecrated, devoted service to the Word of God. Here's why. You say, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Number two, I want you to notice the work in the handled things. The work in the handled things. Not work at Handel's ice cream, but work in the handled things. Now, if anybody online's watching and not from here, they will not know at all what that means. Handel's ice cream, best ice cream in the world. I'm lactose intolerant and I can handle Handel's ice cream. Why? Because they leave all the fat in it. I tell you, we put the fun in fundamental. Or the mental in fundamental. You pick. Work in the handled things. Look with me at verse 15, please. Verse 15, Numbers chapter 4. And when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary as the camp is to set forward, after that, the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it. But they shall not touch any holy thing lest they die. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. Do you see it? It's right there in the verse. There's a right way and a wrong way to handle the sacred things of God. And hear me, it is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of salvation versus condemnation. Now, don't misunderstand me this morning, because we certainly don't work for our salvation. We absolutely cannot. However, when the Word of God is not handled rightly and it's not handled reverently, the true work of Christ for our redemption and salvation can be harmfully contorted and hazardously corrupted, cutting off the hearer completely. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God, this most holy thing, it must be cared for and handled correctly. Amen. Verse 18. Cut ye not off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites. But thus do unto them that they may live and not die, and not die when they approach unto the most holy things. Verse 20 says, lest they die. In verses 15 through 20, a thrice holy God gave a threefold warning of death from the mishandling of holy things. And I think that you and I ought listen and learn to be most careful in the handling of holy things, the written Word of God and the living Word of God. We ought to make sure that we handle with care and that we handle correctly. Number three. Stay with me on this. Some of your minds are going to go into a different place when I tell you this, but stay with me. Number three, work in the hanging things. Make sure you put the word "the" in there. It's not work in hanging things. It's work in the hanging things. Verse 24. Verse 24. This is the service of the family of the Gershonites, okay? So it's not Aaron and his sons, and it's not the Kohathites. Here's another group. It's the family of the Gershonites to serve and for burdens. And they shall bear the curtains of the tabernacle and the tabernacle of the congregation, his covering, and the covering of the badger skins that is above upon it, and the hanging for the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the hangings of the court, and the hanging for the door of the gate of the court, which is by the tabernacle and by the altar round about, and their cords and all the instruments of their service, and all that is made for them, so shall they serve. So we see the holy things. And we see that those have to be handled correctly. But now when we come into this work in the hanging things, you'll notice that the curtains, the coverings, the hangings serve the specific purpose of separation to God and separation from the world. And we don't have the time to go through all of the elements that made up the hangings and the coverings this morning, but I want you to understand from the outside. See, it says all the way to the badger skins. That was what was on the outside. It was waterproof. It was also weatherproof. From the outside, there was no apparent beauty. It was just plain. It was functional. It served a purpose. But the inside, the glory and majesty of God's worth and work, the hanging work, the coverings protected, catch this, the coverings protected from the harsh elements and from the harmful pollution of the world. And how this illustrates you and I who are saved in this sin-sick world of darkness. We're to be separated to God and separated from the world. Amen. Now you and I who are saved, we see the beauty that's on the inside. We see the beauty of the work that God has done and is doing and His presence that now dwells with us. But the world sees God's people as unattractive and worthless. Nah, bunch of Jesus freaks. Amen. Thank you, Miss Sue. That's how the world sees us. Unattractive. The church is unattractive. The church is worthless. Until they have a great need, right? I mentioned this morning in Sunday school, 9/11. My goodness, how churches all over this country were packed to capacity that following Sunday. But it didn't take very long until all of that fell off. Why 20, almost 23 years later, are we still not seeing the house of God packed to capacity? Because the world sees God's people as unattractive and worthless. But see, you and I, who are saved by the blood of the crucified one, we understand and we know that our lives are filled with His light and with His love and with His joy and with His strength and with His peace. When you and I, who are saved by God's grace and indwelt with the Holy Spirit, when we come apart from the world to gather together in congregated worship and fellowship, what the world sees is a worthless waste of time. You could be mowing your grass right now, shoveling snow, or whatever we're supposed to do in March that everything's all messed up, but You could be fixing something around there. You could be, you know, out having fun. You could be, instead of wasting your time going to church, that's what the world says. But God sees it, our congregated fellowship, our congregated worship, as a wonderful endeavor. And watch now, you and I reap the benefits. We do. Work in the hanging things. Let me give you the fourth one. Work in the heavy things. Work in the heavy things. Hope you ate your Wheaties this morning so you can work in the heavy things. Verse 29. As for the sons of Merari. Okay, so we have Aaron and his sons. And we have the sons of Kohath. We have the sons of Gershon. Now we have the sons of Merari. And in verse 31 it says, and this is the charge of their burden according to all their service in the tabernacle of the congregation, the boards of the tabernacle and the bars thereof and the pillars thereof and sockets thereof and the pillars of the court round about and their sockets and their pins and their cords with all their instruments and with all their service And by name ye shall reckon the instruments of the charge of their burden. This is the service of the families of the sons of Merari, according to all their service in the tabernacle of the congregation, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. Now, here's the group that really endured some heavy lifting. I have told people there are some things when it comes to construction that I'm good at, and then, well, adequate at. And then there are some things in construction that it's best if I leave them alone. So the things I'm good at, demolition. Roll up the dumpster, let's go. You just, tear everything apart. You didn't tear everything apart carelessly in the tabernacle. You took lots of care and you did things in a specific order. Notice the order starts with the holy things and it's everything is taken down. How would it be? Now you think about it. When we have the tent for youth rally, how would it be? They got that tent out there. It's covered with canvas. And how would it be if they came out to take down that tent and the first thing they took out was the internal metal structure? Now you're going to see a whole bunch of people in there beating around trying to find, where's the end of this thing at? There's an order to do those things. I mean, you think about it. When we have youth rally, we take down the lights, and then when we take down the decorations, and we take down the chairs, and we take out all of the sound equipment, and we do all of those things. Why? Because, well, those things are quite expensive, and they're a little difficult to replace. So we treat them gently. We don't just chuck them around. There's a difference the way you treat the PA system versus how you treat the tent poles and the tent stakes. There's a difference. You want them to last, but one is, it's built tougher than the other. It can handle a little bit more. You think about the spikes that they drive into the ground. Oh boy, how good would it be if that was the first thing they took out was the tent spikes? Now, as you're out there trying to take the tent down, it's blowing away. Sound familiar, Brother Richard? That happened a couple of times. The weather blew the tent away. And so there's an order to this stuff, but I want you to understand, this was the group that endured a lot. The other thing I like other than demolition is the general framing and setup, the rough work, the rough carpentry. Everything doesn't have to be super exact. You can be a 16th off and sometimes even an 1/8 off. You just use a longer screw and you'll be okay. But then you come to finish carpentry. Mm-mm. I don't have any saws that cut that exact, and I can't put the joints together that exact, and it takes too much time, I'm just going to go out here and hammer some boards that, eventually they'll be covered up and you won't see all the hammer smiles in the wood that I make. But finished carpentry, oh boy, that's the tedious way, and it often seems that also takes the longest. Everything else just sort of throws together. But this group, I want you to think about it. First group, they wrap up the holy things. And the second group picks up the holy things with the staves, the sticks that were in the rings. And the third group, they go around and they take down the curtains, and they take down all the decorations. And they take the tent skin off. And then in comes this fourth group. And they got to pick up all the wood, all the connecting bars that hold it together, all of the sockets that are in the ground that the posts sit in and the posts and all of that, and it's hard work. But it's dealing with the bones of the building, so to speak. Let me tell you this morning, we all have burdens, we all have problems, struggles, and trials. That's a fact. Every single one of us has something that's a problem, that's a burden, that's a struggle in our life. But do you understand, in this work in the heavy things, we have the privilege to help shoulder the burdens of others as they in turn help shoulder ours. And most of all, we have Christ, the ultimate burden bearer. Now I want you to see, we labor together in the work of God for a worthy and worthwhile purpose that receives and reflects His beauty. This tabernacle was a picture of Christ. And these all had a responsibility in now this representation of Christ in the wilderness. And I want you to know, no matter who you are today, each of us has a place to serve and a place to help each other. Whether you're one that's advancing holiness or assisting in happiness or alleviating heaviness, we all have a part to play in the work of God. And I want you to consider the true beauty of the work that we see here and will be done this morning. There was holy work, there was handling work, there was hanging work, there was heavy work, but all the parts were involved and all the parts were integral. All the parts were instrumental for that building to be complete. The work was going to be complete. All of that work had to be done. What would have been the point to do the heavy work and the hanging work and the handling work if there was no work done with the holy things? What good would it have done to do the holy things if there was no handling work and no hanging work and no heavy work? And what purpose would the hanging work be if there weren't the heavy things there first put in place, the bones to hang something from? You need it all for it to be complete. And understand this. You might have noticed this. Maybe you missed it, but here it is. It wasn't one person doing all the work. It was all the people doing some of the work. Wait. The work that God set them in place to do. Now wait a minute and hear this. Yes, there were. It started with the most holy things. And notice when they would put it back up, it would end with the most holy things. But understand this. No worker in the tabernacle was better than another. Because all the workers are necessary to get all the work done. Hear me this morning. Whether you pray, play, not play, but, you know, play. Whether you pray, whether you play, whether you pay. Brother Dennis will come in a minute. Whether you preach or teach or reach. Whether you sing, clean, decorate. Wait a minute. Maybe all you can do is just show up, sit, and smile. The truth is this. We all have a place. We all have a purpose. Hear me, we all have a part. And it's my encouragement for us all today that we see the beauty of the work. We see the benefit of the work. We see the privilege that we have to be in the service of the Lord. And as we look at these truths, let's be fervent in our worship. Let's be faithful in our walk. And watch how the Lord makes us fruitful in His beautiful work. Our heads are bowed this morning.